Prompted by such sources, in Junkie, Burroughs shows his grasp of the different functions served by a specialized Argo. We see how it can map the thief's or addict's clandestine life and make it seem a whole alternative world. Life telescopes down to junk, one fix and looking forward to the next, stashes and scripts, spikes and droppers. For the addict, the slang also doubles the social role of the substance itself. "Heroin was our badge," said Rodney King, one-time partner of Charlie Parker, the great bebop junkie. "It was the thing that said, we know, you don't know. It was the thing that gave us membership in a unique club, and for this membership, we gave up everything else in the world." Alert to the decline of old subcultures and the emergence of new ones, late on in Junkie, Burroughs reports news of changes in the New York scene since he was last there, to suggest how a shift in key terms can define an existence, and, like passwords, admit entry into it. "I learned the new hipster vocabulary, pot for weed, twisted for busted, cool, an all-purpose word." Cab Calloway, in A Hipster's Dictionary, said the term hip meant wise, sophisticated, anyone with boots on, where the last phrase signifies living on the street, being streetwise. And Burroughs must have been drawn by this sense that an outsider from official culture gets to possess insider knowledge, gets to know the score. His own glossary definition of hip spells out this logic as a sly challenge to the reader. "The expression is not subject to definition because if you don't dig what it means, no one can ever tell you." As Burroughs would show at the start of Naked Lunch, a square who wants to come on hip makes a perfect mark. To the reader hungry for the vicarious thrill of knowledge without the risk of experience, Junkie gives a warning all the better to set the trap, like one of Maurer's con games. Early on in You Can't Win, Black describes his youthful fascination with Jesse James, this would be the early 1880s, and concludes, "Looking back now, I can plainly see the influence the James boys and similar characters had in turning my thoughts to adventure and later to crime. Adventure and crime." The point Burroughs makes in his prologue to Junkie is that, trapped in an haute bourgeois suburb of St. Louis and insulated from city life by his family's money, the terms appeared synonymous. You Can't Win surely turned Burroughs' thoughts to adventure and crime, and later to writing. But there remains one thing that goes unsaid in the prologue, and is only hinted at in passing in Burroughs' foreword to You Can't Win, via the phrase, opium dens. Although this is absolutely typical of Junkie, in giving autobiographical details that are entirely accurate, while omitting to provide the key, the question arises, why did Burroughs neglect to mention the fact that Jack Black was an addict, when this was surely a part of his book's allure for the young Burroughs and so directly relevant to Junkie? The most likely explanation is that he wanted to avoid any suggestion of the literariness of both his experiences and his own writing, the idea that either were inspired by reading books. This move helped keep Junkie at a clear remove from the great romantic tradition of Coleridge and De Quincey that he knew so well. If Burroughs stripped Lee of his own literary knowledge and ambition and gave priority to the anonymous confessions of an American thief rather than to romantic poets or European modernists, it was surely because he wanted his writing to appear with boots on.